Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
I had a friend in Bible college, I won't mention his name, but he was this very passionate follower of Jesus, and just passionate about, you know, the kind of guy that would change the world, that kind of thing. And he's been through some really hard times in his life, and last week, he posted this on Facebook, and it wasn't a share, it was a personal story, and I just want to, it was kind of long, but I'm just going to read it as it is, and I want you to imagine you being him as I read this. This is what he writes. A friend I've never actually met sent me by mail two paintings inspired while she prayed for me. One of these paintings, she said, came with a message that God wanted me to know he is singing over me. The painting only has six notes on it. You wouldn't call it a song. At first glance, I thought it just sort of represented the idea of God singing over me, which, if I'm honest, strikes me as a little unusual for me to imagine until today. Today, I busted out my guitar and, out of curiosity, played those notes. Blew my mind. Why? Well, 17 years ago, when my daughter was born, I chose a little set of notes that I would hum in her ear from time to time. She was an infant as she fell asleep. As I held her, after I prayed for her, etc., it was my way of saying, I'm here, don't be afraid, your dad loves you, I've got you. There are two people on earth who know that tune, myself and my daughter. Today, when I played those random notes painted in prayer from a woman I've still not met, who lives several hours away, that were sent with a message that God is singing over me, they were not just any old notes, they were my notes. It was my song. It was just a tiny tune I made up for my daughter 17 years ago. When I asked her about it just today, she still remembers. That's what I love about prayer. That's what I love about Jesus. He knows me. He knows us. He sees and he remembers us, and he sings over us. So I ask that you would imagine you being the recipient of that. Now I want you to imagine that you were the one that sent that message. And what would that feel like? We're in a message series called Tapping into the Divine. We're talking about four ways to pray that will change your life, and today's message is entitled Mount Up, and I was trying to come up with a title for this, and I talked to Jordan Breckenridge, who's not here today. He's with his wife on a youth retreat. They're not the youth, they're leading the retreat, and he's in the military, and I said, what phrase do they use to say, okay, get ready, we're about to go? And he gave me a bunch, and this is the one I picked, Mount Up, getting ready to go. Before we jump into the message today, just a couple of quick things. The first one is we don't take an offering in our service, but we do have giving options. You know, we are called to be generous, and when we're generous, it feels good. And that's because when we give generously, and Crosslands Church, I solidly believe, is something that is worth giving generously to. That's why we do. But we're made to do that. We're made to participate in God's mission, and that's why it feels good when we give, because we're stepping into who we are as human beings, as followers of Jesus. The next thing, and this is probably the second time I'm going to announce this for a while, because it's I'd like to be kind of like an inside joke, so we'll highlight it maybe every few months. But if you weren't here last week, you would have missed me drawing attention to having a balloon on the stage. So we have a balloon on the stage. And the reason why we have a balloon on the stage is because every time somebody chooses to become a follower of Jesus at Crosslands Church, the next Sunday, we're going to have a balloon on the stage. This is the second week in a row we've had a balloon on the stage, and we hope to have many more balloons on the stage. So that's why we're doing that, so that we all know, yeah, this is awesome. This is what the mission is all about. This is why we want to do this, because we've had people, you know, decide to follow Jesus over the past few months. We have no way to tell you. So this becomes our mini party. And then the next thing is, in the past, we've done the YouVersion Bible event, where we have where do we go from here questions. Well, we've adjusted our platform for that, and it's far more accessible now. Our go-to center for announcements, for signing up for stuff, and for the message notes is now on crosslands.live. You don't have to download an app. Just take your smart device, go straight to crosslands.live. There are questions here on how do I apply this week. It's following Jesus goes more than Sunday morning. You hear this great message, and then you have lunch, and then it disappears with your appetite. And so these are questions that some of our small groups do this. So it's all found on crosslands.live, and I don't know if we'll have time today, but if you have if you want to text me with a comment or question relevant to the message, my number's up on the screen, and you can do that as well. So I'm going to do a quick recap over the past few weeks, and there's a reason for this. And I kind of concocted this neat little graphic to describe it. The first week we talked about the source. The source is Jesus himself, prayer is about relationship. And so I know in my own life, my default starting for prayer was always please, because I want to start by asking him stuff. But it's relationship, where we express love to him and he expresses love to us. It starts with relationship before any demands. And when we do that, we actually begin to realize how much we are loved by God. And the next week we talked about God meets our needs, but when we come to him, the best thing to do is submit to his agenda, because he knows what we really need. So God has an agenda for your life, and as much as prayer implies that God is willing to bend reality for you, when we submit our agenda to him, we find that he is straightening ourselves rather than bending reality, because that's really what needs to be done most times. And the third week, we talked about praying for somebody else. And this was last week. You know, just do it. Just take the opportunity. I do want to clarify one thing, because in the text message at the end, I think it was less clear that when somebody says, you know, I don't want you to pray for me, and I said, well, they can't stop you, I don't mean out loud, okay? We're not chasing people through the supermarket going, I'm going to pray for you whether you want me to or not. And you just pray in your head, and they can't stop you from doing that. That's all. Okay. So I want to read a passage of Scripture, and it's Acts 4, 23 to 21. It's fairly lengthy. I saw in the news this morning online that there was a protest in Pakistan against this woman who was in prison for declaring her faith in Jesus. So she was getting water from a receptacle at work, and somebody else said, nobody else should drink that water because it's haram. It's now unclean. She should not be allowed. We shouldn't drink that because it's now unclean, because this person has touched it and they are a Christian. And she very vocally stepped out and said, of course I'm a Christian, because Jesus died for my sin. Jesus called me into relationship with God, or whatever word she used, and it wasn't in English. What has Muhammad ever done for you? Now she's in prison, and there were massive riots and protests this morning because there are hundreds, maybe thousands of people calling for her death for blasphemy. With that, I want to read this passage, and the context here is that the disciples, very, very early on after Jesus' resurrection, they've been preaching the gospel, and they are dragged before the religious leadership, and they are threatened, stop doing this, or you're going to suffer the consequences. So they come back to the other group of believers, and this is what happens in 4:23. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voice together in prayer to God. How do you pray when you've been threatened with persecution and death? This is how they prayed. Why were the nations so angry? They begin with quoting Scripture. Why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord, against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod, Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, safety and peace and comfort and easy life. It doesn't say that. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. That's really different from what we do. I've been kind of tuning my ear to the way we pray. And over the past few weeks, you know what I hear over and over and over and over? The prayer for easy. Just, Lord, just let it be easy. Let us be comfortable. And really, what this is talking about is praying God's agenda. What does God want for Newmarket? What does God want for your context? This is going beyond asking for what I want. See, the first three prayers that we've talked about that change your life, they bring you to baseline. That's normal. That's what everybody aims for. We aim for financial security. We aim for comfort. We aim for good relationships. That's as far as we get. That's baseline. We get there and we go, great, it's all good. I'm not moving forward. But God calls us to participate with him to change the world. We're called beyond the best of what everybody else wants. We're called way beyond that. So what's next? Where do we go after the first three? We participate in God's plan. Now, this is a high standard. And sometimes I question, you know, the whole thing that we do. Sometimes I wonder, do we make it too easy? Do we lower the standard at Crossing Church? Well, that's why people like us, because we make it really easy. And I don't believe we do, because the standard is really high. The standard is Jesus himself. I saw something recently, somebody said the standard is Jesus, the model is Paul. Jesus presents a really, really high standard. But what has happened over the decades and maybe the centuries is people would come to church and you're beat up for not meeting the standard. You're reminded how much you suck for not meeting the standard. It's like, you like, shape up, smarten up. And then you come in and you just like, who wants to go somewhere where you feel beat up all the time? Nobody wants that. And we wonder why people have stepped away from our Christian subculture in North America. You're always being told you're not good enough. Okay, so when we look at this diagram, we all feel like that. In fact, if you're kind of newer here, I want you to know that the two women that came up and shared what they believed God was telling them, and Wade did as well, that's not scripted, okay? They didn't know what I was going to preach about. But what they said perfectly lines up with this and with more stuff that I'm going to say. See, when you get to the point where you think, I'm not good enough, you go back to the bottom, that first bubble in the diagram, right, up there, that love relationship. You go back to the love relationship and understand God loves you completely. Yeah, there's a higher standard, but the starting point is God's love. The starting point is not beating you up. The starting point is not condemnation. The starting point is God's love. We go from God's love to lining up our lives with his agenda, being willing to pray for other people and pray for one another, and then move forward for his purpose for the church, in our community, in our country, in our world. The starting point is God's love. And we think, oh, I'm not good enough. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're not. Really, yeah, I'm not either. But the starting point is God's love. He calls us into a relationship because he loves us, not because of what we did, but because he is love. And you see, we have a spiritual enemy that will constantly remind you that you suck. That's why we don't need to say it here. You know, we're always reminded. You know, the world tells you, you don't measure up, you don't make enough money, you're not good looking enough, you don't have the right stuff, and your relationships suck, and you make all kinds of mistakes. Yeah, all that stuff is true. Great. Okay. God loves you completely, and he's got something better for you, more than just to bring you to baseline so you're comfortable and happy, but to move forward, change your context, change your community, change your country, change the world, be part of his purpose. And this is what we pray. That's why we pray, because God has something more for us, for influence, for real, lasting change. And we pray for ease, we pray for comfort, and we pray for our bills to be paid. God has something more for you. And has nothing to do with whether you're good enough or not. He calls you into something that's beyond what you're good enough for. So how does that work? Okay, so I'm going to give you some how-tos. When one of our small groups that Michelle and I were part of years ago, one of the people that was in our small group was asking, we were praying together as a group, she said, I have this neighbor, and she looks like she's really struggling, and I see her, and I've talked to her a couple of times, and I just want to pray that somebody would come along and impact her life, be able to share Jesus' love with her. And somebody said, well, maybe that's you. And so we prayed for her, but we also prayed for the person in our small group. See, when it comes to, okay, I don't know what to pray for, here's a couple of things. Here's a few clues. And we don't always recognize these clues because we're so used to thinking the way we think. The first clue is, who did God put in your path? What are you noticing? See, we don't just always notice random. Our attention is drawn to something, sometimes because God is putting that into your view. Who did God put in your path? What are you noticing? And here's the second part of that, okay? Because sometimes we don't always notice what we notice. What irritates you? What makes you angry? Who in your life irritates you and makes you angry? And I don't mean like just your family, right? Many times, I was talking to a friend this past week, and they're going through a major career change, and they're looking at, what's God's vision for my life? And I said, sometimes that question is best answered by asking the question, what makes you angry? Because then you are called to be a solution for that, and that starts with prayer. So we have a goal at Crossroads Church. We say it many times. Our goal is to reach the other 80,000. Those people that are not followers of Jesus. On a typical Sunday morning, there's probably 80,000 people, maybe more now, in Newmarket, Keswick, Bradford, Aurora, that would not be in church on Sunday morning. They're playing hockey, they're grocery shopping, they're sleeping in. Is the idea of a relationship with God, that meeting together with followers of Jesus on a Sunday morning, is not something that they are saying no to. They're not even considering the question. It's not even an option. I have five things I could do this morning. Going to church is absolutely not one of them. And some of those people have never been introduced to the message of Jesus, and some of those people have been introduced to a very distorted message of Jesus. So that is not a strategic challenge by itself. That is not just an energy and resources challenge. That's a spiritual challenge. Because that is a battle that has to be won spiritually before it's won in the physical. I'm gonna do a little scripture jumping, and we typically don't do this at Crossroads Church. We typically do one passage, one verse, but I'm just gonna quickly jump to a few this morning. Daniel 10, 12 to 14. So Daniel is a guy who is part of the nation of Israel. The nation has failed God so many times, he allows him to go into exile, and Daniel is in Babylon, right? The land of the curse, of the exile. And he's praying, get this, on behalf of the nation. God, when are you going to rescue us? He prays this prayer of saying sorry to God. When are you going to rescue us? Because we're paying the price. And an angel appears to him. Doesn't typically happen to most people. And the angel says, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. You ever pray and pray and pray and feel like your request is not being heard? I felt that many times. From the first day, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer, but for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia has blocked my way. See, there's a spiritual battle going on that we don't see behind the physical reality that we do see. And prayer is the fighting of that battle. You have a friend, you have a family member, and they're not a follower of Jesus, and you're praying for them. From the first day, that battle is being engaged. And we don't always see results, so we go, well, I guess it doesn't work. No, there's a battle happening. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this. It says, Satan, so the great spiritual enemy of humankind, who is the God of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So you can do a great job telling the story to somebody, telling the message of how much Jesus loves them and what life they could possibly have, and they can't even understand it because their mind is blinded. That's why we pray the mission before we do the mission. So we go from this relationship. It's founded on a relationship with God. We engage with God relationally. We receive his love. We express his love. We pray. We line up our lives with his agenda. We pray for our requests. And we move forward and engage the mission. And we strive to win the battle in the spiritual before we see success in the physical. The last one is this, Zechariah. So this is Old Testament, post-exile. God's people are coming back home miraculously, and if you don't believe that word miraculously, it was an unprecedented event in history by any account that a pagan emperor would say to a bunch of people, go back home and build the temple that was destroyed. Unprecedented. And so there are some leaders that are leading this. There's a political leader and a spiritual leader, and If you have a child coming and you're going through that battle of what to name the child, here's a great option for you. Zechariah 4:4. He said to me, this is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. Okay, great option for you. This is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. By my spirit. We could have all the money in the world. We could have all the people. Well, not all the people in the world, because then the mission's done. But we could have a whole lot of money and a whole lot of people and a whole lot of resources, and a whole lot of access to politicians and people of influence, but that's not what gets the job done. God says it's by my Spirit. That's why there was an unprecedented historical event, because God can do by his Spirit what people can't do by their own means. That is the battle, that is the mission that we are called to enjoy. This mission that God wants to do by his Spirit, and that's what we're participating in. So we move from this relationship with God, which is the core, it's the center, it's the starting point. We line up our agenda with his, we pray for one another, and now we take on the mission in the spiritual. How do you do it? Well, I'm going to make this practical for you. Because for some people, this is old hat. For some people, this is brand new. You may have never thought about this before. So here's two options. If you're by yourself, get a little book, a little journal, write down somebody's name in there, and pray for them every day. Not just, we're not talking about for health, right? That God would remove the blindness imposed by the enemy. That God would open their mind to see and understand. And then if you're in a small group, here's another great idea. Get a piece of Bristol board or foam core or wood or something and have a board that your small group writes names on, and every person bring a name and the group prays for those people. That the blindness would be removed. They would be able to see. They would be able to see and understand and hear God's message. See, the reason why you put it down on paper is because you tick it off when the request is answered. You keep it in front of you so you stay consistent. Write in a book, put it on a board. And there's other things too. I mean, we had Gary and Bev Lang are missionaries that we support in Cambodia, and they were over this summer, and Bev was telling me about somebody that was working in a hospital, and they were experiencing all kinds of problems. And by problems, I mean, you know, we go through political problems. You know, there's a couple people at work that make your life miserable. They make everything miserable. There's corruption. There's theft. And this is all the stuff they were working on, and she didn't know what to do. And so she went to somebody else to ask her for prayer. And what do you even pray for? And they regularly prayed that God's glory would be expanded in that context. That was it. God, let your glory be expanded in that hospital. And within the month, people were fired. And it just got better. So there are all kinds of avenues, there are all kinds of arenas in our lives. There's like the business arena, the political arena, the media arena in our community where the enemy has a foothold, the enemy has influence, and we're called to address that spiritually in prayer, that God's glory would be expanded in all of those arenas. We're going to close in a minute, but before we do, I want to give the invitation to anybody that is not a follower of Jesus, that you can become one. I'm not promising an easy life and pie in the sky and that you'll have $1,000 in your bank account all the time and that every relationship goes well, because we're part of a battle, right? But it is simple. It's as simple as ABC. A stands for admit. I admit my need for God. I acknowledge that I can't do this on my own, that there's a life that I'm not reaching by myself. And B stands for believe. I believe, God, that you have the solution. That solution is achieved, is bought, it's paid for through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. And C is commit. Commit your life to him. That means an exchange. It's not my life anymore, it's his life. As somebody said this morning, Wade or Edna or Brenda, maybe all three, it's not your life anymore. Give yourself completely. Don't surrender 20%. You give it all. Commit. And so if this is you and you're saying, okay, I'm ready to do this, or even I want to know more, your best option, go to crosslands.live, and there's a section there to fill in your contact information and tick a box. And if you don't have a smart device or you don't want to go to crosslands.live, we have connection cards at the back of Theater One throughout the lobby. You can respond that way as well. But this is the most important decision you'll ever make. Now, today is the last message of our four-part series on tapping into the divine. And tonight, we're going to do this together. So tonight, starting at 6 o'clock, next door, Theater 2, next door in the building, Theater 2, we're going to be doing an hour and a half of prayer together. So I would encourage you to come out to that. We've never done anything quite like this before, so it's going to be interesting. It's going to be really cool. We are over time, so I'm not going to entertain text messages. If there's any really good ones, I'll put them on the Facebook page when we post the message. So I'm going to invite you to stand and close in prayer. Immediately after the service, Theater One becomes a prayer room. So we always encourage everyone to find at least one person you've never met before, have a meaningful conversation. We just ask you to do that in the lobby. And so I'd love you to stay and pray, but if you're not going to do that, then just go to the lobby quickly, as quietly as you can, and have the conversations out there. If you want to stay and pray, our kids' programs are going to be running for another 10, 15 minutes, so you have some time to do that. But the focus today is on participating with God's mission. God has a purpose for the world, and he's calling you into it. Father, I thank you that there's nothing that we have to do to earn your love. There's nothing that we can do to disqualify ourselves from your love except to just completely reject you. And so, Father, you call us into what is far beyond what we could do on our own, and it's overwhelming. But Father, I ask that for each one of us today, you would make clear to us exactly what you are calling us to do, that we would enjoin this mission, this battle in prayer. We would participate with you in winning that spiritual battle, so that we can see the results in the physical. Father, I pray that this mission you've called us to introduce people to Jesus, to that life that's worth living that they don't even know exists, I pray that you would bring more and more people into that relationship with you, and we want to pledge ourselves to participate with you in that, to reach the other 80,000, those that don't know you at all or have a really distorted image of you. Father, I pray that this week you would open our spiritual eyes to notice what you are calling us to pray for, and that we wouldn't turn away from that, but we would partner with you, we would commit to you to do what you're calling us to do. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.